Hi everyone, my name is Jeremy and I'm one of the FPS students at Ashfield. A few weeks ago, I got to experience a day in the life of Stu and Rach. It wasn't really a day, maybe it was an hour or so. But we were at church in Lidcombe for college mission, and I was teaching the 0 to 4 year olds at Sunday school. And I learned very early on that this Sunday school class was no ordinary Sunday school class. From the beginning, it was go, go, go. The kids, they wouldn't sit still. They wouldn't stop crying. Not that you guys are like that. But these kids, they wouldn't sit still. They wouldn't stop crying. And for some strange reason, these kids, they loved cucumber. They absolutely loved the stuff. One of the moms had packed cucumber for her kids, and these kids, the whole lesson, they were eating cucumber. Anyway, we were doing a colouring in activity when one of the boys confuses a green texture for a cucumber, and he puts the green texture into his mouth. I'm thinking, oh no. At this point, I'm furiously trying to get rid of the evidence and rub the green marks off his face. I tell you, I've never been so happy to hear the parents sing the benediction. But by the end of the lesson, I realised that looking after your kids demands all of you, your whole attention. It takes all your energy, and it's an all-consuming task. Well, today, Paul calls us to a task. A task that, like teaching a Sunday school class or being a parent, is an all-consuming task. But what is the task? And why should I join in the task? Let's pray, and then we'll keep going. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you do speak to us, that you give us your spirit so that we might understand it, so that we might hear it, our hearts soft, receptive, responsive to your word. Father, as we hear your word today, please work in our hearts a heart for the gospel, a heart that wants to pass it on to others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in 2 Timothy, Paul is in chains for the gospel. It's towards the end of his life, and he writes a letter to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1, he tells Timothy to guard the gospel. Keep it the same. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul tells Timothy to preach the word. Preach the word and do it all the time. And these are the things that Timothy is to do again and again and again. And in today's passage, if you have a look at verse 2, Paul tells Timothy to pass on the gospel. He's to pass on the gospel to others who can pass the same gospel onto others again. Have a look at 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Timothy, this gospel you heard from me, entrust it, give it, pass it on to others who will also be able to teach others the very same thing that you have learned from me. This is what Timothy is to spend his time doing. This is what he is to prioritize. This is what is supposed to shape all the decisions that he makes. And so I ask you, how do you spend your time? What takes up your energy? What are you investing in? What do you prioritize? How do you make decisions for you and your family and church? And are you someone who is reliable? Someone who can be trusted with the gospel and teach it and pass it on to others? For this is the task that Paul gives to Timothy. And it's our task too. Pass on the gospel to others, who can then pass on the same gospel to others again. These past few weeks have been incredibly busy at college. And I've learned that one thing that I'm really, really good at is being distracted and not doing what I should be doing. Now, I can't help it, and it's really bizarre. It's been a really bizarre time for me because there are these TV shows that I never usually watch, which all of a sudden are interesting to me. You know, I visit the fridge more regularly, as you can probably tell. I refresh my Facebook page every few minutes. There's more time to exercise. I need more naps. I have lots of time for everything else, except for what I'm actually supposed to be doing. I'm good at being distracted. And this is a problem. It's a problem because all these distractions are keeping me away from the task that's in front of me. And it's the same for the task of passing on the gospel to others. There's no room to be distracted. And so Paul gives Timothy three examples of what he must be like if he is to join in the task of passing on the gospel. The first one is Paul tells Timothy he is to be like a soldier who does not get distracted. Have a look at verse 4. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Paul tells Timothy, if you join in the task of the gospel, you can't be distracted. You've got to be like the soldier who never stops being the soldier. He knows who he is and what he's supposed to be doing. And secondly, Paul goes on to tell Timothy he's to be like the athlete who stays on task. Have a look at verse 5. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Here, if you join in the task of the gospel, you've got to stay on task. You've got to be like the athlete who competes according to the rules. He doesn't cheat. He doesn't take shortcuts. He trains and he trains and he trains. He keeps at it and he never stops. And he plans everything, his whole life, around his training. You know, I could never do this, but how often he eats, how much he eats, what he eats, how he spends his time, when he sleeps, it's all decided by the task that he has in front of him. Because he wants to win the prize, the victor's crown. And so he doesn't let anything else get in the way. He'll do whatever it takes to win the race. And so he stays on task. Because the athlete knows that if he doesn't stay on task, he won't win the race. And thirdly, finally, Paul tells Timothy he is to be like the farmer who works hard. Have a look at verse 6. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Paul tells Timothy, if you join in the task of the gospel, you've got to work hard, like the hard-working farmer. The task of the gospel demands your time, your energy, your labors, thoughts to this all-important, all-consuming task of the gospel. You are to spend and be spent for others, for the sake of the gospel. The task of passing on the gospel is a task that will get into everything. It won't let you be distracted. It will demand that you stay on task. It will mean that you work hard. So does the task of passing on the gospel affect you like this? To your plans and where you live and what you spend your time doing, what you spend your money on, where your energy goes, is it all decided by the task of passing on the gospel? Does your life revolve around this task? And if it doesn't, what is stealing the priority of passing on the gospel? What have we got to change about our own lives, about how we do things to make sure that the priority of passing on the gospel is not replaced by anything else? Now, I'm not saying that you have to stop everything you're doing right now and do something else. I'm just saying that maybe we need to start doing things differently. That in all things, whatever we do, we be deliberate about passing on the gospel to others, who can then pass on this same gospel again. Like the soldier, the athlete, the farmer, we need to let the task that God gives us shape and determine how we do everything else. Stay on task. Don't be distracted. Work hard. But you might be asking, and it's a good question, why should I join in the task? Why should I join in the task? Because to be honest, if the task demands everything, if it takes up everything, and it is an all-consuming task, I want you to give me a good reason to do it. Because sometimes the task is too hard. Sometimes the task is too big and it's too much. Sometimes the task costs. And often on this side, here's the task, but on the other side, here's what I prefer to be doing. Here's what's safe, here's what's comfortable, and here's what I'm used to. And everyone joins in when it's good and easy and comfortable, when it doesn't cost you. But when it's hard, that's when people think twice. I don't know if you noticed it, but earlier on when Paul tells Timothy to pass on the gospel, he's asking Timothy to share in suffering with him and endure hardship. Do you see that? Have a look at verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Friends, passing on the gospel will involve in some way and at some time hardship or suffering. And so when it comes, don't be surprised. For this is what you signed up for when you joined in the task of passing on the gospel. And so be prepared. As you pass on the gospel to your kids and they're not listening. As you pass on the gospel to family members who you've been praying for years and years and years, and it looks like nothing is happening. In fact, you're now the joke of family gatherings. The son who became a Christian. The daughter who became a Christian. As you serve in youth group and Sunday school, and it feels like you can't see results. As you speak up at work when everyone else is doing something dishonest, or they're teasing Christians and they say, here we go. Keep going. Persevere. Endure hardship. And why? Because the victory is sure. Have a look at what Paul, who is in chains because of the gospel, have a look at what he says in verse 9, right at the end of verse 9. But God's word is not changed. God's word will not be changed. Here is our reminder of how nothing will stop the spread of the gospel. The gospel will have its way. God will make sure of it. It will keep going out to the ends of the earth until all people will know Jesus and submit to him, whether by force or by freely, submit to him as Lord, as King and God. The gospel, which Paul summarizes in verse 8, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, who destroyed death and gives salvation, new life, and forgiveness of sins to all those who come to him and trust in him. Not because of anything they have done, but because God is gracious and merciful. This gospel will not be changed. Don't be discouraged when it looks like nothing much is happening. But look to God, who is faithful. And here's the second reason why we should keep going, persevere, endure hardship, and why we should join in the task of passing on the gospel. Because God will be faithful. Even when we are faithless. God will be faithful. Even when we are faithless. It's there in verse 13. But let's read from verse 11. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God cannot lie. Even when you are faithless, God will be faithful. Because we all have those days, don't we? Actually, that's most days for me, when you don't feel like it. When it's discouraging, when it's too hard, when it's tiring. You're too busy doing something else, exhausted, frustrated, disappointed. Do not lose heart. God will be faithful. You can trust God when he says he would do what he said he would do. God's word will not be changed. So are you in or are you out? Will you join in the task? Because if you haven't joined in the task of passing on the gospel, then you're on the wrong team. You're running the wrong way. You're going against God's big agenda for the world to bring all people to know Jesus and follow him. God wants all people to hear him, to know Jesus, to turn away from sin, to believe, to be saved in Jesus and have new life. Here is what God is doing in the world. And you're either with him or against him. And it's not just about you. It's about others too. Because other people's salvation, their obtaining salvation, other people's hope of being with God and enjoying Him forever, well, that depends on us passing on the gospel to them. It depends on us telling them about Jesus. And so here are some questions that maybe will help us think about how we can join this task of passing on the gospel to others. Here's the first one. In 10, 20, 30, 40 years' time, will there be a strong, vibrant, engaging gospel witness going out of Ashfield Presbyterian Church? Will there be a gospel witness going out of the lives of the people who come here to worship, glorifying Christ and showing Him to be glorious? If you have children, when your children grow up and they come here and bring their families, will they hear the gospel? Because tomorrow will be a reflection of how well we passed on the gospel today. What are we busy doing here at Ashfield? Does it take us away or distract us from the task of passing on the gospel to others? Friends, let's start building a gospel-sharing culture at Ashfield Presbyterian Church more, and do this more and more and more, where we share and pass on the gospel all the time, where every bit of life becomes an opportunity to pass on the gospel to someone, to each other. Because we need the gospel to be passed on. We need the gospel to take root in people's lives as it intrudes and it moves in into people's hearts and is then passed on again. Let's make the gospel the heart of this church. Let's make the gospel our main thing at this church, as we pass the gospel to others who can pass the same gospel unto others. And how are you doing at passing on the gospel? Because the gospel needs to be in everything that we do. As we do ordinary everyday life, take every opportunity. As you cook and you clean and you drop the kids off at school and you make passing on the gospel the main thing that you do for your kids. Pass on the gospel to yourself on the way to work, in conversations after church or at home group, when you meet each other during the week, pass on the gospel. Pass on the gospel to your husband or your wife before you go to bed or when you wake up. When one of your children comes home from school, sad, upset by something a friend said or did, when sad or tragic things happen, when you grab your morning coffee with your workmates, work, eat, or play, these are all times when you can pass on the gospel to others. And as we do it, hear Paul's words of encouragement to Timothy all the way back in verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Do this all in the strength that Jesus provides. See that? When you are weak, when you are too small, He Himself will make you strong for the task. According to the big and wide and deep riches of His grace, Jesus will strengthen you for the task. He will keep you. He promises here to carry you in this most excellent task of passing on the gospel. And remember this, as you go about the task, sometimes alone, and not many people join you, when you are rejected, when you are left behind, and the task takes your time, your energy, your thoughts, your dreams, your money, when you are labelled the world's fool, the task too big, and you too small, because you're just not up to the task, when there is little visible fruit, no results you can see, as the world mocks you, when friends taunt you saying, "Where is your God?" Remember, the victory of the gospel is sure. God's word will not be changed. The gospel will go out to the ends of the earth. Many will come to Jesus, and many will turn against Him too. But God is faithful. Look to God. God will be faithful, even when we are faithless. So join in with everything you've got. Join in this all-consuming task of passing on the gospel to others, who can then pass the same gospel onto others again. Let's pray. Father, Creator God, you made all things, and everything belongs to you. Father, we thank you that you give us your word, that you do speak to us, and that you call us to this amazing task of passing on the gospel to others. Father, we pray that you would forgive us when we don't live out who we are, when we don't respond to your call to this task, this all-important task, which salvation depends on. Father, we pray that at Ashfield Presbyterian Church, a great gospel-sharing culture would be developing more and more and more. That as we are together and in our own lives, we would make and take every opportunity to pass on the gospel to each other and to others. We pray that the gospel would be the main thing, that in 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years' time, there would still be, if your son hasn't come back yet, that there would still be a gospel witness here engaging people's hearts and minds and hands. Father, we pray that you would help us in this task, strengthen our weak hands, help us to pass on the gospel. And thank you that you will be faithful even when we are faithless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.